Okay, Yudchesam Aleph, in middle of the page, three lines from the wide lines. The last thing we were learning in the Gemara was about cutting nails. You know, if you throw them on the floor, you're a Rasha, unless if it's in a base medrash where women don't go, so then you can do it, and so on. So now the Gemara says like this. Amar Rav Yehuda, it's very interesting Gemara, this whole thing coming up. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. Zug ba machmasan lefnei Rebbe. A pair of Torah scholars came from the city of Chamson, came before Rebbe. Mazutra doesn't say Rav Yehuda Amirav said it, but he says it was a brisa. That what? Again, Zugba Machmasan Lifnei Rebbe Yazug, a pair of people, Torah scholars, came from Chamson to Rebbe. And they asked the Shaila. Ubikshu mimenu tzipanayim. And they asked the Shaila, is somebody allowed to cut their nails? There's different opinions in the Rishonim. Some learn that they're asking about a mourner. Can a mourner cut his nails? Okay. Other people learn the question was about Chol HaMoed. But basically they asked Rebbe, can you cut your nails or not? So, v'hirtu lehem, and Rebbe said you're allowed to. So the Gemara, the Braiser, Rav Yehuda Amirav, whatever it is said, v'mbikshu mimenu safa. And if they would have asked Rebbe about cutting their mustache, v'hirtu lehem, he would have also permitted it. If they asked him. Okay? Now, Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, not only if they would have, but Shmuel says, Avbikshu mimenu safa. They taka asked if they could cut their mustache, either Chol HaMoed or morning, v'hirtu lehem, and he permitted. And the reason for that is because the mustache gets in the way of eating. And therefore, you know, even in halacha, you're allowed to trim a mustache. It's not part of the beard. Especially those parts that get in the way of eating. So Rebbe was matir to cut the mustache, whether morning or Chol HaMoed, whichever one of the opinions it is. Okay? Now Tesis learns about the beard that is speaking after Shiva. Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Not during Shiva, but Rebbe asked, they asked Rebbe about cutting the mustache. After Shivan, Rebbe permitted it. So Amr Avital Safra Mishmed Rapaper, Avital the Sefer, said in the name of Rapaper, Safra Mizavis Lazavis. You can cut from one corner of the mouth to the other corner of the mouth. Meaning, any part of the mustache you can cut. Even if it doesn't really get in the way of eating, but it could get in the way of eating, so he said you can cut the whole mustache.
You mean shave or trim?
It really doesn't matter. Well, Rav or Pop in the parentheses, what are you up to? So Ravani said, oh, no, 1 second. Besafa Makefis. You're only allowed to cut the lip, the hair above the lip, that blocks the food. Okay? Meaning you could trim it if it gets in the way of the food. Now, at the Gemara, the Mefarshim explained that this opinion of Ami is not arguing with Rav Avital. He's explaining what he meant. In other words, when Rav Avital the Sefer said, or what opinion says it means he was a barber, not a scribe, that you could cut the mustache, it means from corner to corner. So Rav Ami says, what does that mean if it gets in the way of the eating? Any part of the mustache, so even an oval after Shiva or during Chol HaMoed, you would be allowed to do it. So Amir Rav Nachman Be'Yitzchok says, L'didi kesof ha-makeves domi. In my cases, he says, as far as I'm concerned, all the hair above the lip gets in the way of eating. In other words, he said, I can shave my whole mustache, trim the mustache because it gets in the way of eating. Okay, so now, the Gemara is going off a little bit because the Gemara mentioned this name of Rav Avital the Safra in the name of Rav Rapapa. So the Gemara quotes another, and this is a very famous Gemara. Amar Avital Safra Mishmei the Rav. Pari Shahayu Bimei Meshe. The Pari that was in the days of Meshe Rabbeinu. Hu Amma, he was an Amma high, tall. Uskani Amma, and his beard was an Amma. Upa Mashtoke. And his private part was Amma Vazeris, an Amma and a half long. The Kai Mashinema to fulfill what the Pasuk says, Ushvala Noshim Yokim Alai, the appoints the lowest of men over it. Meaning, the Gemara explained, Mefarshim explained, by the way, that this is obviously not to be taken literally. You can't say Paro was a foot and a half tall, and his beard was a foot and a half, and his private part was
2 feet.
Over 2 feet, yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean. What it means is, he was an extremely low person. That's what the Mefarshim say. He was a lowly, despised man. In other words, the fact that his beard, which is the glory of man's face, and his height was the same amount, shows his vanity. And, he was arrogant and that he was overwhelmed by lust and so on and so forth. That's the way the Mefarshim learned the Gemara. But this is a well-known Gemara. Everybody says that Bari was an Amma. Other places it says he was an Amma fat. But the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara just says that he was an Amma, his beard was an Amma, and his brusari was an Amma.
But if his beard was as long as he was, why wouldn't that be a good thing as opposed to a bad thing?
No, it shows that the face, which is glory, was as low as his body was. And as the whole thing was low, it shows that his beard, which symbolized normally the glory, was also despised a very low level. But again, the Mefarshim explained this, obviously not, not in the physical sense, so to speak.
What does Alehi mean? And he appoints Lower Sovereign over it, over what?
Over it, over the country. Or over the Yidden, either way. Well, Shvala Nashim and low people, okay, Yochim Aleha, Hashem rules over, the Pasuk starts off by saying that Hashem rules over the kingdom of man, and he appoints the lost men over it, meaning over the kingdom of man. Because Paro is the most powerful person in his time. And then it says another thing. Amar Avito, Safir Mishmed, Rapapa, or Rav, whichever version. Paro Shahi B'mei Meshe, the Paro that was in the days of Meshe Rabbeinu, Amgushi Hoya, was an Amgushi. Now what's an Amgushi? There's an argument between Rav and Shmuel in the different Gemara. Rav says he was a sorcerer, and Shmuel says he was a blasphemer. No, but whatever it is, it was a very low level. Shenema, because it says in the Pasuk, Hine Yetzi Hamayma. This is a very, Rashi quotes this in the Chumash, that whenever Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, go speak to Paro, he told him, go up in the morning, get up in the morning, and go Paro's by the Nile. What was he doing by the Nile? He was going his bodily functions. Because Paro made himself a god. As the Pasuk says, Li Yerd, the Nile is mine, Vani Asisina, and I made myself. Now Paro maintained he was a god. Now if he was a god, he wouldn't have to go to the bathroom. So Paro would go early in the morning before anybody got up, and he would go to the bathroom. So over there, Moshe Rabbeinu would speak to him every day as if to show, I know who you are. But this is what it means. I'm Gushi, that either he was a sorcerer, he did things with sorcery, or he was a blasphemer, he used to, do the curse Hashem and so on and so forth. Okay, that's the end of this Gemara. So basically, the Gemara's conclusion is, as far as the mustache is concerned, that a mortar after Shiva or Chol HaMoed, anything which is blocking the eating could be trimmed. Even though we learned before you can't take a haircut at Chol HaMoed, but it doesn't apply to the mustache. Okay, now the Gemara says, it said in the Mishnah Din, Eilu Mechapsim B'Moed, these are the people that can laundry clothing during Chol HaMoed. And the Mishnah said, a guy that comes from overseas who couldn't do it before, a guy who was in jail, basically the same thing. People that couldn't wash their clothes before were allowed to do it in Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says, Amar Avasi Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Mi Shein Le'yalo Cholok Echod, if a guy only has one shirt, Mut L'chapsi B'chol HaShomeid, you're allowed to wash it Chol HaMoed. That means if he has only one shirt and he can't wear it for 7 days, it got dirty, so you're allowed to wear it Chol HaMoed. Okay? So Masav Rav Yimi, Rav Yimi asks a question on this din. Because in our Mishnah it says, Eilu Mechapsim B'Meid, who can wash Chol HaMoed? Habam Medina Siyab, people that come from overseas and all that. And this din, it doesn't mention. It doesn't mention a guy who only has one shirt. The Mishnah mentions a whole bunch of people that can wash their clothes. Here, it says, Habam Medina Siyam, a guy comes overseas, comes from prison, okay, goes out of the jails or the pit, a guy that was excommunicated, right, or things like that. But the Mishnah doesn't say a guy who has only one shirt. And if this guy would be allowed to wash his shirt, then the Mishnah would say it. The fact that the Mishnah doesn't say it shows that this guy cannot wash his shirt. So how could Rav Asi in the name of Rabbi Yochanan say that if you have only one shirt, you're allowed to wash it on Chol HaMoed? So the Gemara answers, Amalei. Oh, so Gemara says, Hani, in only these people. But, me, Shein, Le'el, Chol HaKachob, the guy that has only one shirt, no, he's not allowed to. So how could you say he's allowed to? So Gemara answers, Amalei, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yemi, Rabbi Yaakov says to Rabbi Yemi, Asbarach, I'll explain it to you. The truth is, a guy that has only one shirt can wash a shirt. I, the Mishnah, is talking about only other people can wash the shirts. Those refer to people that have a few shirts. And they could still wash the shirt. And he explains, Masnisen, our Mishnah is speaking, Afa Gavdi Isle, even though he has today, even though he has two shirts, and Umetanfen, they're soiled, he's allowed to wash them. In other words, our Mishnah is talking about people that had a few shirts. Yet if they come from overseas, we don't make him wash both shirts before Yom Tov and put on one right away and then save the other one for Chol HaMoed. He can put on, you know, wash one at a time and wash the other shirt Chol HaMoed. But a guy that has only one shirt, could even wash Chol HaMoed.
It's not even in that category.
It's a different category. The other category is even a guy that has a few shirts. They could still wash Chol HaMoed. And this guy can't. So now the Gemara says like this. Shalach Rav Yitzchak Bar Yaakov Bar Giyuri Mishved Rabbi Yechanan Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yaakov the son of Giyuri sent the name of Rabbi Yechanan Klei Pishton linen garments Motel Lechavse Mechol Shomayit could be washed in Chol HaMoed. Now there's two things over here. Two reasons the Mefarshim explained. Number one, because it's very easy to wash them. One of the reasons you can't wash clothing Chol HaMoed is because Chol HaMoed you're not supposed to work. And washing clothing in the olden times is a lot of work. It wasn't like today you put in a machine and press a button. You had to go down to the river and, you know, schlep it and do it and wash it. So pishton, linen garments, wash very easily. Number one. Number two, the Mefarshim explain, they dirty very easily also. So even if they're washed before, you need to wash them again. Like the Mishnah said, you know, diapers and handkerchiefs and those things that soil very often, you can wash them in Chol HaMoed. So therefore the Gemara says, it's interesting, so far the Gemara says two exceptions to the rule in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says who could do laundry and Chol HaMoed, only a guy that came overseas or out of prison or all that. So meanwhile the Gemara is making two exceptions. A guy, if he has only one shirt for the whole Yom Tov, could wash it Chol HaMoed. Or, if you have linen garments that are easy to wash and they soil easily, you could also wash them in Chol HaMoed.
Well, usually when the Mishnah lists cases, it's not exclusive.
Usually when the Mishnah says a bunch of cases, it's exclusive. Because why doesn't the Mishnah... Sometimes, by the way, the Gemara answers that the Mishnah is leaving over. Meaning the Mishnah doesn't, Shiuri Kama Sharinan. It's leaving over. But then the Gemara asks, but then we have to find one other thing that they leave over. Because if they mention five things, and there's only one exception, then the Mishnah should have mentioned it. But if there's more exceptions, the Mishnah mentions like a good part of them. But in this case, the Gemara's original question was, if the Mishnah says ABCD can wash the clothes Chol HaMoed, that means only ABCD. So how can you say a guy that has one shirt can wash his clothes? Gemara says, no, he could. The Mishnah is talking about if a guy has many shirts, but he comes from overseas, he can wash. And then the same thing with the clay fish. But
it seems a little strange if a guy that has two or three or four shirts and came from overseas or from jail to be allowed to wash the Chol HaMoed.
Because he couldn't do it before.
But he has three or four others.
Yeah, but he might need... In other words, what we're saying is, we don't make him wash all right before Chol HaMoed and go crazy, and then...
On all those three or four are clean and ready. And
no, they're not. They're dirty. That's why he's coming from overseas, so they're not clean. That's the Chiddush.
That's the point.
Right. By the way, this is the same din, which applies to, in just, you know, extrapolating from this Gemara, what happens if a guy runs out of shirts? Doesn't have enough shirts for the last days. So based on this Gemara, you're allowed to wash it, but only what you need. If you need two shirts, you can't put a load of 10 shirts. And the Paskin right, even though the machine is doing it, what's the difference if there's one shirt, two shirts, 10 shirts? But the Gemara says you can only wash those clothing that you need for the Yom Tov. If somebody has a tablecloth, and the first day Yom Tov it gets dirty, and you need it for the last day's Yom Tov, so then you can wash your Chol HaMoed, because that's the din of Ein Le'ele Chol HaKechet. He has only one shirt or one garment, so he could do it. So Masav Rabbah asks on the linen. He says, in the Mishnah said, Mitpachas Hayadayim, hand towels, and Mitpachas Hasaporim, and the barber clothes, you know, the shmatas that you wear when you go to the barber? Well, whatever you call them, no? When you take a haircut, you put that shmat around you. So the Gemara is thinking, obviously, you're talking about a barber that's allowed to give haircuts from Chol HaMoed. Because otherwise, why would they get dirty? So he says that these things you're allowed to wash Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says, Hani in. So you see, only these towels you could wash. But Kli Pishtin, but linen garments, lay. In other words, if you're talking about things that get dirtied a lot, then the Mishnah only says, barber things, hand towels, those things, diapers, those things you're allowed to wash Chol HaMoed, but doesn't say anything about linen. That linen, I mean, clay fish and linen clothing you can wash. Abaya said like this. Masnisa nafilu dusharmini. When it speaks about the barber and the hand towels, it means even if they're not linen, you could wash them. In other words, the Mishnah is talking about not linen. So when the Mishnah says you can wash towels and that, we're talking about towels which are not linen you can wash. But linen is a definite thing. The Mishnah is not talking about that. So you can't exclude it from the Mishnah to say that you can't wash Kli Pishtun. Kli Pishtun you can wash. And the Gemara says, Amar bar Hidaya, and he says, I'll even prove it to you, that I saw people washing linen garments on Chol HaMoed. He says, L'didi chozo l'yama shel Tveria, I personally saw people by the Yam of Tveria, by the Sea of Tveria, the mapagle meshichli demone, they were taking out bowls of linen garments, b'chol HaMoed, and Chol HaMoed to wash them. And you see, people did it, and obviously the Rabbanim knew, you know, the Tanoim and Amiroim knew that people were doing it, and they didn't protest it, which means that you're allowed to do it. So Abai is just proving, I mean, this Baraida is proving that linen garments you could wash in Chol HaMoed because people did it in the Chachamim. Oh, so by the way, the Gemara asks, Mask of Abaye. So Abaye asks a question, Man Leimelo, the B'tzen Chachamim after. How do you know Chachamim were happy with what they did? Dilma, Shalei B'tzen Chachamim after. Maybe they didn't do it with the consent of the Chachamim. Just because they did it doesn't mean you're allowed to. In other words, Hidayah thought that because people did it, it shows you're allowed to do it. So Abaye said to him, how do you know? Maybe they did it and it was wrong. Why didn't the Chum protest? Because in this din, if you know they're not going to listen, you don't protest. And maybe the Chum knew that they weren't going to listen. And because they weren't going to listen, they didn't do it.
So bottom line, you can wash linen.
The bottom line is that you can wash linen. If you have one shirt, you can wash it. Basically, the Gemara is saying things that wash easily and get dirty easily. But, by the way, you can't just rely on the leniency because it's easy to wash. Because then today you should be able to wash everything. Today is easy.
And dry cleaning is the same?
Dry cleaning is kibbutz.
But it's easy. I mean, this is easy for us. I mean...
Easy. We're not talking about the actual act of dry cleaning. Yeah, if a guy has only one suit and it gets dirty and he needs it for that's the din of Ein Le'ele Chol HaKechet. I mean, that's the heter. I mean, this is the source of all Chol HaMoed halachas, by the way, this Gemara. So this is the Gemara. It says if you have only one shirt and you must have it for the last days, you can do it. Say you should have betzina, you shouldn't do it in public because people won't know and they'll misunderstand it and, you know, all that.
Even the maid cannot do it.
No. If you're not allowed to do it, they can't do it. because it says in Halacha, even, you know, it says even a kovis goy, like the dry cleaners, stam, you want to give in a bunch of clothing to the cleaners. Even if they're goyim, you can't give it in Chol HaMoed. Okay, now the Gemara continues. This is the Mishnah continues. Says like this: Ve'elu kaisim b'meid. Now, normally, until now, we're talking about cutting hair and laundry and all that. Now, one of the things which you're not supposed to do on Chol HaMoed is writing, for no reason at all. But the Mishnah is going to list a bunch of things that you're allowed to write on Chol HaMoed. And the common denominator of all those things is because we're afraid if you don't write them now, you might lose the opportunity to write them. Because as we'll see in the Mishnah, these are all referring to documents that you need witnesses. You need, number one, someone to write it, and you need witnesses. And if there's a possibility the witnesses are going to go away, and you won't be able to get them after Yom Tif, so then you're allowed to write these things on Chol HaMoed, because it's what's called Dover HaOvud. If you don't do it now, you're going to lose it. So this is what the mission is going into now. Elokeisim b'meid, this is what you're allowed to write on Chol HaMoed. Kedushin Noshim, documents of Kedushin. What are the documents of Kedushin? Now, there is Kedushin, the Mishnah says at the beginning of Kedushin, Isha Niknes Bekesef Shtar Obiyah. Now, there's Kedushin, and there's, which is another word as we're seeing soon in the Gemara, Edison, and there's Nisuin. Now, Kedushin is the Reyat Mekodesh Yosli with the ring. This is the way it's practiced, in practice, it's done today. But as far as the Mishnah is concerned, if you write on a piece of paper, Harei Amukadashasli, Bishtazu, and give it to the woman in front of two witnesses, and two witnesses sign it or so, she is Mukadashas. You can do it Bekesef, you can do it with Shtar, or you can do it Bia. So nowadays, the Gemara says the custom is only Kesef. But what happens if somebody wants to write the Kedushin, you are betrothed to me, so then, this is one explanation of the Gemara. The Gemara is going to explain another one later. This is the financial agreement to agree on the Kedushin. So if you don't get this financial agreement settled, you might lose the woman. She might go marry somebody else instead. But simply the meaning of the Mishnah, Kedushin Oshim, Rashi says, the way Rashi learns is you write on a shtar areat mukadeshesli, because that's the kinyan bishtar. Next thing is gittin. If somebody needs to write a get. So again, the reason why you can write a get is because if the husband's going to leave on a journey, and you might lose the opportunity, the woman will stay in a guna. Okay? So,
times of the essence.
It's interesting, in today's crazy world, they'll write gittin when halacha says you shouldn't write them. For instance, halacha says you don't write a get at night. At night you don't write a get. What happens though, if you have a situation where a husband refuses to give a get? It makes a hard time. And finally, at night, you finally get the guy to agree. But you don't know, he might change his mind in the morning. So then they'll write a get at night, they'll write a get to Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, so who's Shaila, what date to write on the get? So it says, Mishchanoch, you shouldn't write a get on Rosh Chodesh. But today, later Poskim write, today, if a guy agrees to give a get, you just write it any time, not Shabbos Aviv, but any time where it's, even Halacha says you shouldn't, you just write the get, because who knows what's going to be. Now, in the times of the Gemara, and this is what the Mefashim explain over here, what's this concept of a get? If a husband's going on a trip, what they used to do in the olden times, because again, there was no communication, guys would leave on trips, you didn't know if they came back, you don't know, they didn't come back, you don't know, if they just decided to move somewhere else, they got killed, you don't know. So what they used to do in the olden times, they used to, and the Gemara's going to, and Shabbat's Gemara's going to say that, they would write a get to the wife, and they would put on a condition in the get like this: this is your get if I don't show up in 30 days. That means if the guy keeps the condition that he doesn't show up in 30 days, so then the get is either retroactively good or from the, depends how you, may achshav or not may achshav. But so people used to do that when you used to go on a trip. And then they came home, they got married again, you know, whatever. need a small chuppah with a minion, whatever. So again, if a guy is leaving, what the Gemara says about Kol Yetzim Lachem is based David. Gemara says all David and Melech soldiers before they went to war divorced their wives. In case they didn't come back after war, the woman shouldn't stay in a guna. That's how the Gemara explains why David HaMelech never sinned with Bathsheba, because she was a divorced woman. Because her husband, Uriah, was one going to war, and he divorced her. But what?
He made her husband go to war, because he wanted her. So he...
No, her husband, okay, come to the Sunday morning Gemara in 2 weeks. We're going to get there approximately. The Gemara is going to talk about why David HaMelech didn't sin, and why Uriah Chita was Chayiv Misin.
Okay.
Or maybe more, whatever. Okay, now, because the bottom line is, if the husband doesn't write the get now and he's leaving on a trip, and you're going to lose the opportunity, and then the problem is, he might not be able to give the get. So, they bring down like this, Rashi, in what's called Rashi Ksav Yad, Rashi learns that this get can only be written on Chol HaMoed if the husband's taka going on a journey. But if he's not going on a journey, then you can't write a get Chol HaMoed. Because wait until after Chol HaMoed, big deal. Now the Mefarshim learn, the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah doesn't say you can write a get if the guy's leaving a Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah says you can write a get on Chol HaMoed. So therefore they learn across the board, you can write a get. If you want to write a get, you can write a get on Chol HaMoed. Right. Okay. Or shaven and receipts. When a guy pays up a debt, so he has a right either to ask for the document back, or yes, he asks him a right for a receipt. What's the problem? If the guy, if you don't get a receipt right away, the guy might not want to pay you. And then it'll be a loss of money. You want the money, so you'll have to write a receipt. Or, the Gemara says, another thing you could write is daitiki. Daitiki is what a guy is writing on his deathbed. It's called a shchiv mira. A shchiv mira is a guy that's dying. And he wants to write a document. And he's not too functionable. So he says to people, while he's on his deathbed, write this and this and this. You know, I'm giving this to the, whatever. So the din is, you just write it. Even Chol HaMoed you could write it, because a guy might die. Huh? No, this is just explaining, because even though you don't need a kinyan, you know, whatever. Or the witnesses might not be around afterwards and you'll have a problem. Next thing is matana, a guy wants to give a gift. Now if I want to give you a gift, you can write the document right away that I'm giving you a gift. Why? Because you might change your mind. If you change your mind, if there's no document, you know, you can change your mind. Another thing is prusbul. A prusbul is what you do Shemitah time. The Torah says that when Shemitah comes, the sabbatical year, all debts fall off. And the Torah warns you shouldn't be evil and you shouldn't think Shemitah's coming, I'm not going to lend money because the guy's not going to pay me back. The Torah says don't be blial, don't be evil, lend the guy the money. Okay? In the time of Hillel, the Bezdin saw that people stopped lending money. And at that time, Shemitah's Ksafim was only Midrabanan, was only Rabbinic. So Hillel came up with a brainstorm called Prusbul. What does Prusbul mean? Either orally, or you write it on a piece of paper, that you give over your debts to Bezdin. Hareini meisa lechem, kol chevis sheyeshli, she'egva esim kol zman she'erze. Nowadays we do it by Hatars and Dorim, Ever Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah. What do we basically say to Bezdin, or writing it, the Gemara is talking about writing, you give over all your debts to Bezdin. Because the Torah says you can't collect private debts. But if it becomes a debt for Bezdin, Bezdin could collect it. So Hillel came up with this brainstorm, the concept of prusbul, because people stop lending money, and the Torah warns you about not lending money to another Jew. So he found a legal loophole by writing a prusbul that people won't be afraid to write. To lend money. So therefore, the person, otherwise, you're not going to be able to collect the debt and so on, so it's considered an Chol HaMoed. Why? Because it might not find a proper Bezdin after Yom Tov and it'll lose the money. The next thing is Igrishum, letters of evaluation. Now, when a guy owes somebody money and he has no cash to pay, So Bezdin would collect from the fields. How would Bezdin collect from the fields? So first Bezdin sent down an evaluation process. Bezdin sent down people to evaluate the field. Then the people put in writing the evaluation of the field, because if a guy had $1,000 debt, you have to know how much of land can he collect. He can only collect $1,000 of land. So you have to know the value of the property, the real estate value. So he says the same thing, if Bezdin awarded a field, so they have to evaluate it. So again, the witnesses might not be around, or the court might not be around. So all these things that you're allowed to do it. And Chol HaMoed. The next thing is, Igros Mazon, letters of financial support. Meaning, if a guy has a stepdaughter, okay, a guy marries a woman who has a daughter already. Now, his own daughter, he has an obligation to feed. His stepdaughter, technically, doesn't have an obligation to feed. But he writes a document, I promise to feed her. So that document could also be written on Chol HaMoed, because again, you might not, of course, you might not have witnesses, it's a thing that has to be done. The same thing, Shtar Chalitza Umiyun. A Shtar of Chalitza and refusal. What's the din of Chalitza? If a guy dies without kids, so the woman cannot remarry unless if the brother does Yibum, he marries her, or does Chalitza. Right. Now, after Chalitza, the woman is allowed to remarry. But you need to write a document, because she has to prove to the world that she's had Chalitza, otherwise she couldn't get married. And the same thing is with Miyun. Miyun is as follows. Under Torah law, a father can marry off his kid under Bas Mitzvah. The Torah says, "Es biti nasati l'isha zeh." The father has a right to marry off any daughter over three. He can come over to his five-year-old daughter, accept kedushin from a man, and the girl, as mekudesh is to this guy, she needs a get. Okay? That's only the power of the father. What happens if there's no father? The brother, or the mother, can marry her off to whoever they want. But when the girl becomes bat mitzvah, she can refuse to be with this guy.
She doesn't need a get.
Because only the father has the biblical kayach, biti nasati l'shazeh, to marry off his daughter. So when he does the marriage, it's mamish eishas ish. So therefore you need a get. Here, the Chachamim gave the mother and the brother the power to marry her off. Why? It's a very simple reason. If they didn't marry her off, she'd be running around town. You know, she'd be hefker. So the Chachamim said, we're giving you the ability to marry off the girl, but we're not making this a real marriage, because you're not the father. So therefore, when the girl becomes 12, she can do what's called miyun, she can refuse. And all she has to come to bed and says, you know what? I hate this guy, I don't want to be with him. She walks out free. But you need a document to show that she went out free from Bezdin. So that's the shtar miyun that we're talking about, the Elat HaRei Chol HaMoed. Ushtar Birurim is a different, two different explanations. One Ushtar Birurim is how Bezdin divided inheritance. A father dies, leaves over three kids, yeah? So Bezdin has to divide the Yerusha. So Bezdin would pick, you get this, you get this, you get this. I mean, obviously, if they all agree, there's no problem. But if Bezdin didn't agree, he may have gone out. Because he was... Oh, no, he's back in. You know, Shlomi, you might want to lock the door with the... So, what's the Shtar Birurin? If everybody agrees who gets what, there's no problem. But if the brothers are fighting, each one wants something. So Bezdin has to make an evaluation and a division. So Bezdin would write in the document, you get this, you get this, you get this. That's one explanation. Another explanation is, when you go to Bezdin, and let's say people pick a dayan for themselves, you pick, like if you and I have a litigation, right? So you pick a rav, I pick a rav, and the two, the rabbanim pick a third rav. And you have a Bezdin, it's called Zablo. Zeh Beder Leyachot, Zeh Beder Leyachot. But in order for that to be validated, you have to sign a document that you picked him as a Rav. Otherwise you say, I never, who asked you? You know, I never took you. So that's also Shtar Birurim. By the way, every time you go to the Dentator, the litigants sign a paper that says we agree that these three rabbis are our judges. Even if they don't pick them. But it becomes binding arbitration, by the way. Even a civil court that holds up. Yeah, they will honor and respect it. And enforce it, by the way. So these are the various different things you're allowed to write. Another thing you're allowed to write, the Mishnah says, Gzeiras Bezdin, court decisions, meaning rulings handed down by the court, because the court might not be available later, they might forget, whatever, so you could write it down. V'igr shalashus and letters of government, meaning government documents that if they're not done now, it'll be forgotten or whatever, or Jewish government, Goyish government, doesn't matter. You're allowed to write these documents on Chol HaMoed. So basically, the Mishnah finished by saying, all these types of documents, where people might mess up by not writing a Chol HaMoed, allowed to write a Chol HaMoed. Okay? Now the Gemara goes off into something interesting. But if you can get engaged in Chol HaMoed, I mean, if you can do Kedusha in Chol HaMoed. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, "Moter la'aris isha b'chala shemaid." You're allowed to do kedushin to a woman on Chol HaMoed. The Gemara is actually talking more about kedushin when just getting engaged, because kedushin binds her to you. If and like we learned in previous times in the Gemara, in the time of the Gemara, they didn't do what we do now, kedushin at the chuppah. By psula, they would do kedushin, and a year later they got married. What was the purpose of doing kedushin? Because then, if they would break up, she would need a get. So basically, it was more for the man, because the man could have 10 wives anyway. But if the man wanted to chop the woman that nobody else can get her, he would do kedushin. Obviously, she had to agree to it. We learn out from Rivka that she has to agree to it, but the man would give her the ring in front of two Edim and act Mekadeshously, and she would get Mekadeshes. If they broke off, she would need a get, she would be Asa L'Kayin, she couldn't marry a Kayin anymore because she's mamash a divorced woman. But they can't live together until they get married, which was usually in the time of the Gemara 12 months later. So Shmuel says, you're allowed to do Kedushin to a woman Chol HaMoed. Now, what Shmuel saying, and the Gemara's going to even ask a question on this, basically, you're not allowed to get married. We learned that before in the Gemara. You can't do weddings on Yom Tov, even a Chol HaMoed. It's forbidden. It's one of the few times, by the way, the Torah says you're not allowed to get married. It's Chol HaMoed. Why the Gemara learns it out? It says v'samachta bechagecha v'loy beishtecha. A marvin simcha besimcha. The Torah says you have to be happy with the chag, not with your wife. Meaning you can't get married on Chol HaMoed. So Shmuel says that even though the din is you can't get married on Chol HaMoed, but Kedushin you can do on Chol HaMoed. Why? Shamei kadmenu achar. Because somebody else may get her first. In other words, if you're going to push off the Kedushin, meanwhile the woman might find somebody nicer, richer, better, whatever, and she'll go to the second guy. So Shmuel says you can do it. It's really a loss. And like, in fact, it brings down like the Ritva. What's the loss over here? A guy might not find a wife like this woman. You know, he might have to take somebody else. So the Gemara says, "Leimem Messiah, I'll prove it to Shmuel. I can prove Shmuel's did. Why? Because it says, Elo Kesem B'Meid. Our Mishnah says these are the documents you can write on Chol HaMoed, Kedusha Noshim. And the Gemara thought, my love. Kedusha Mamish. What does the Mishnah mean, Kedusha Inoshim? Like we learned in the Mishnah, Mamish documents of Kedushin. So if you can write a document of Kedushin, obviously it means you can do Kedushin. Right? Because if you didn't do Kedushin on Chol HaMoed, how could you write a document? So obviously it's a clear proof to Shmuel that if you can write the Kedushin document, you could definitely do the Kedushin. So the Gemara says, Loi, what are you talking about? It's not Kedushin. This, the Mishnah says, Shtari Kedushin doesn't mean Kedushin. It means shtari psikta, the amount of the allotment, meaning how much the bride's parents and the groom's parents are going to give to the new couple. But who said you could do kedushin chol HaMoed? Maybe you can't do Kedushin Chol HaMoed. I, the Mishnah says Shtar Kedushin. It doesn't mean Kedushin Vareat Mekudeshesli. It means the document that prepares for the Kedushin. Meaning the financial agreement between the parents. How much money they're going to give to kids. And the Gemara says, because Rav Gidla Merav, like Rav Gidla Merav, Dom Rav Gidla Merav, Rav Gidla Merav says, Kam Atonais in the Bincha, Kach v'kach, what happens if a guy says to the two mechutanim, you know, the two parents say to one another, how much money are you giving to your son? And he answers, kach v'kach, such and such an amount. Kam atonais in lebitcha, how much are you giving it to your daughter? Kach v'kach. Amdu v'kitshu, and then right afterwards they stand up and did the kedushin. Kano, the kedushin is good. And heinein dvarim aniknim b'amira. This is good with speech alone. Meaning you don't even need a kinyan. The fact that they did the kedushin following the verbal agreement validates the verbal agreement. In other words, like this. Just because I say I'm going to give you $1,000, I'm not bound to give you $1,000. If you make a kinyan, then I'm legally bound to give you $1,000. So but Rav Gidlom Rav says a very interesting din. That if two parents get together, and one says, how much are you giving to your son? $1,000. How much are you giving to your daughter? $1,000. And they didn't even make a kinyan. But then the chosin and the kalah do the kedushin, that kinyan binds the financial agreement. Even though the financial agreement between the parents had no kinyan. It was just words. But the fact of kedushin is the kinyan for the financial agreement. So we see from Rav Gidla Merav that there was a financial agreement that they made between the two parents. And that financial agreement is what the Mishnah Shashar Kedushin. So the Gemara says, but you still don't have a proof to Shmuel that you can do Kedushin on Chol HaMoed. Maybe not. So the Gemara says, Leim Mesayli. Let's see if we can prove it from our Mishnah. It says, Ein Nesnim Noshim B'Moed. A Mishnah said before, you can't get married women, you can't marry women in Chol HaMoed. Lay Basilis, lay Almanis, not a virgin, not a widow, lay Miyabni, you can't do Yibum. Why? Mipnesha Simcha Hilai, because this is a source of joy. And the Gemara said before, like we said, V'samachta B'chagecha, you need to be happy with your Chag, not with anything else. But what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says you can't get married in Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah doesn't say you can't do Kedushin. Is a proof that you could do Kedushin. So l'chei, that's a proof to Shmuel. So Gemara says, lo, just the opposite. Lay mi boy, comment means just the opposite. Meaning, lay mi boy la'aretz, to do Edison for sure is forbidden. For sure is forbidden. Why? The la'aretz mitzvah, there's no mitzvah in Edison. The mitzvah is to get married and have kids. But Edison itself is not a mitzvah. It's only a guarantee that she's going to marry you. It's not a mitzvah. So he says, when the Mishnah says you can't get married on Chol HaMoed, he says, it means, to get Kedushin, for sure you can't do. Because you're not doing a mitzvah. The Mishnah is saying you can't even get married, which is a mitzvah. So I would think you could do it. So the Mishnah says you can't even get married. But Edison, for sure you can't do. But I feel a little easier, but to do chasana, to go over in mitzvah, when you're doing a mitzvah, also is taka forbidden. That's what the Mishnah says. So the Gemara says you still don't have a proof to Shmuel. Because when the Mishnah says you can't get married on Chol HaMoed, the Gemara learns now, it means for sure not Edison, for sure not Kedushin. Because that for sure you can't do because you're not getting a mitzvah. The Mishnah says you can't even get married. I would think you can get married because you're doing a mitzvah. So the Gemara says you can't. But Edison, for sure you can't. So we don't know any proof or disproof to Shmuel's din. Now the Gemara is going to bring a final proof that Shmuel is right. Toshma, come, I'll prove it to you. The Tanit Ve Shmuel, the yeshiva of Shmuel learned, and obviously they learned in a braisa, because otherwise you can't prove Shmuel is right from Shmuel. You can't prove Shmuel is right because the yeshiva Shmuel said his din. So obviously the Tanit means they learned in a braisa. Ma'arsin, you could betroth a woman on Chol HaMoed, Avol HaKein, so you cannot marry her. Ve'in Eisin, Sudas Edison, you cannot make a meal for Edison, even though the Gemara says the Kedushin is allowed, but you can't make a party. You can't make a meal for Kedushin. Mipnei Shea Simchi, V'lei V'lei Miyab, you can't do Yibum. Mipnei Shea Simchi, because it's a Simchi, the Gemara says, Shema Mino. So from this Braisa, you see clearly that Shmuel is right. But Shmuel explains the reason. The Braisa just says you could do Kedushin and Chol HaMoed. But Shmuel explains the reason you don't do things in Chol HaMoed. He says because if you don't do it now, you might lose the opportunity. She might go marry somebody else.
But if somebody actually does the Kedushin and Kedushin and actually get married, is it?
I was just going to say that. Let's take it even a step further. What happens if somebody gets married on Shabbos when you're not allowed to? You're not allowed to get married on Shabbos. What happens if somebody does? Guess what? She's still a married woman. There's a Gemara in Bava Basra that says, I'm not allowed to do business on Shabbos, yeah? I'm not allowed to sell you something on Shabbos. What happens if I sell you something on Shabbos? We make a deal. Changes hand, money, you know, legal transaction on Shabbos. Later, the guy comes and says, hey, it's Shabbos, it's not a good, doesn't matter. The deal's a deal. You sinned rabbinically for desecrating Shabbos rabbinically. Bottom line is, the deal's a deal. If a guy comes over to a woman on Shabbos and gets married with her, you know, you have many, by the way, if you ever go by the Four Seasons on Shabbos afternoon in the summer, every Shabbos is a Jewish wedding going on. Shabbos afternoon in the Four Seasons. It's right by my house. You hear, you walk by, you hear it. Every Shabbos afternoon in June, there's a wedding Shabbos afternoon.
Not
obviously. But,
it's a Jewish wedding.
Trust me, the people are wearing kippahs. I mean, it's a Jewish wedding. So the din is, I mean, it might not be a wedding because it might not be kosher witnesses and everything. But I'm saying, doctor, what happens if a kosher witness everything? 100% valid.
No kosher witness would go.
What happened if you had two witnesses watched the way a man gave a woman a ring and said that magnanimously?
Is there any way to rectify the sin, or it's done and that
over? It's over. You have to do tshuva maybe, but the deal's a deal. I mean, the kedushin's a kedushin. So chomet for sure. Chomet for sure.
For sure, what?
It's valid.
But
if I'm not mistaken, I don't remember now, but there might be a din. I don't remember if Machzik Rushosi is Mutter Chol HaMoed or not. First, if a guy divorced his wife and he's remarrying her, I'm not sure. I think he could do it Chol HaMoed because it's not such a big simcha anymore. Because he was married to her already.
But here it's not saying that the Irushin is valid, it just says the Shlomo proved that Kiddushin is valid. But not the
Yerushim. No, Edison is Kedushin. You talk about the Nusuin, the marriage.
Sorry.
The marriage is valid. Here he's talking Chol HaMoed. I'm saying even more, if a guy did it on Shabbos,
yeah,
it's valid.
So the reason Kedushin is valid is because it's not a Simcha?
No, Shmuel said because it's Dovid Ovid. If you don't do it now, you might lose the opportunity. And anything, you might lose the opportunity, you can do it. Marriage, you don't need to do, because she's stuck anyway. You're not going to lose her. Now the Gemara is going to ask, the whole question is getting late, but the Gemara is going to ask the whole question, what do you mean you might lose? It's already predestined to who you're going to marry. That's what the Gemara is going into now. So the Gemara says like this, or me, I'm a Shmuel. Shami kadmena acher, how could Shmuel say that you're allowed to get married Chol HaMoed? Why? Because somebody else might marry her. Rav Yehuda Meshmul says, b'chol yom v'yom. It's interesting. This is a little bit different than the Gemara in Saita. Shmuel says over here, every day after conception of the kid, which is from 40 days from conception, from 40 days after conception, from then on, every day a voice comes out and says, bas pleni lepleni, daughter of so-and-so is going to marry this guy. Sad Plaini Laplaini, this field is going to belong to this guy, and so on. So the question is, if it's already predestined, who are you going to marry? So how could you say you might lose her? I mean, somebody asked a very simple question. How could you do that? So Gemara says, what it means is like this. Shamei kadmenu acher berachmim. A guy might undo it through davening. In other words, and this we've learned already a few times during the week, the bottom line is, it's already predestined, but you can change the destiny through davening. So in other words, even though Sarah is destined for Avram, but Yitro could come and daven very hard, and he'll get Sarah instead of Avram. So Shmuel says, therefore you still might lose the opportunity. We find the case of Rava. The Shame Lohu Gavra, he heard a certain guy, Rava overheard a guy was davening, and he said like this, Tis Damanli Plinisa, let so and so, this woman, be available for me. Shmuel heard the way, Rava heard the way this guy davened to Hashem, let Sarah be available for me. Amalesa, Rava said, Leitibay Rachmahach, don't ask Hashem like this. Ichazilach, if she's fit for you, she's not going to go from you. Be like kafarta b'Hashem, and if she's not meant, if you lie, and if she's not meant for you, kafarta b'Hashem, you're denying God, because it's already destined. So Rav says to this guy, why are you davening? Listen, guy, you're wasting your time. If she's destined, you're going to get her. If she's not destined, you're not going to get her. So Shmuel said, Rav said, why are you davening? So the guy said to him, Basar Hachi, after the story, Shamed the Ka'amar, that he heard, the guy didn't give up, he was a very interesting guy. The guy continued davening and said like this, either he should die before her, or she should die before him. Meaning, as Mephoshim explained what it means, is like this. He said, if I can't marry her, do me a favor, God. Let me die first and let her die first. So he says, Amalei, so Rabbi said to him, didn't I tell you not to pray for this matter? In other words, I warned you not to pray. But, so you see though that davening has its effect. Because Rabbi stopped him. Rabbi said, what are you davening? You should die. That means though, but conceptually, it's possible that this should be able to work. That this is able to work. There's a whole thing over here that I mentioned many times. There's five answers. The Rebbe explains in a letter, five answers how you reconcile, from the Mefarshim, how you reconcile these two Gemaras that we're learning here. One Gemara says it's predestined, and one says you could daven. So if you could daven, that means it's not predestined. If it's predestined, how could davening change it? So next week.